69 degrees, waking up on this July 9th Thursday. We call it the best 5 minutes of the day. And Dr. Jason Kanz from jasonkanz.com at his home in Eau Claire. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, you were on a podcast yesterday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there was a woman I met, never physically met her. Her name is Andrea Wenberg, and she wrote a book called Unfrozen, which dealt kind of with, she was a big fan of the movie Frozen, but really dealt with kind of dealing with her own insecurities and whatnot. And she started this consulting group and a podcast called Voice of Influence. And they had contacted me, she and her producer had contacted me about coming on and talking about the notion of wholeness and how do we foster wholeness within ourselves. And they do a lot of consulting with organizations and businesses, and so they wanted to know what is the effect of kind of doing our own inner work toward wholeness and how can that affect systems. And so it ended up a really good conversation. I'll be curious to see how they edit it down. It was, I think we talked for nearly an hour, and I think hers are typically 25 minutes or a half an hour for the podcast. So, yeah, it was a good experience.
See, you're so substantive. You got so much content that they just wanted to keep going with you. So
something like that.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to when that's available. Let us know, and then people can check that out. So
you bet.
So yesterday we were talking about being accepted, secure, and significant in Christ. And I said, you know, I struggle most of those three with security. I'm just curious before we dive in, and the first four different passages are all Romans 8, so kind of underscoring the significance and the greatness of that wonderful chapter. But is there one that you feel like out of acceptance, security, and significance you struggle most with?
For me, it's probably significance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think and I was talking a little bit about that, I think, with Andrea yesterday, just the notion that, you know, I have this desire, I think, to have the words that I write, the words that I speak, have a significant impact upon people and upon the world. And I think a lot of times I wrestle with that question is anything that I'm saying landing on anybody?
Yeah.
I
hear you. I hear you on that. Here's something kind of funny, and maybe we won't even get much into the security today, but I don't know, something in terms of the different ways of, you know, like you see something on Facebook and you go, oh, I want to share that. And somehow I altered my setting and I had it so that, and Hillary just the other day had said her dad's setting was just only he could see something. Well, guess what? I had it so that only you could see about the last half a dozen things I posted. So, yeah.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's
an audience
like
of one, I guess.
Yeah, right.
It would be a little different take on that.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, let's do the first one. Romans 8:1-2. I am secure. It says, I am free forever from condemnation. The verse actually says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, for the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. Boy, that is a good one. I mean, that's so important to just, you know, memorize and meditate on then if you want help in terms of feeling secure, huh?
Absolutely. You know, and I think if you struggle with memorization, even just no condemnation, to remember that idea that, you know, in Christ we are not condemned. I don't know if you experienced that, but in my darker moments, I think I feel the judgment of God that's not actually there. If I believe Romans 8, 1 and 2, I have to accept that it's true that there's no condemnation in Christ.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm looking for a song that was that. In fact, Lisa Bevel from back in the day, so I've got that as our Blast from the Past song in the morning. Perfect. But yeah, you know, and even as I pondered this yesterday, I'm like, why is it? Why is it I can feel like my relationship with my wife is as good or better than it's ever been, and I can still feel insecure there? And I think at the roots of it, there is an insecurity with God. I think of an author we both respect, Dr. Dan Allender. His book, Cry of the Soul, talks about your emotions in God. We think about our emotions horizontally. He's like, no, think about it first vertically between you and God. And so I think if I'm insecure, it's not about me towards my spouse, it's towards God. And I think it was what I came to yesterday, and it's kind of one of those spiritual ahas, was, you know what? I'm still too focused on self. It's that whole self-obsession, self-centered. And yeah. that why it needs to be not the Dead Sea, but the Sea of Galilee, where if I'm truly God-obsessed and others-centered, I'm not going to be, you know, am I going to get wounded? Am I going to get hurt? Am I going to get betrayed? You know? So.
Yeah. Well, and I think you just touched on something that I think is so key. It all starts with God, and it ends with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we live in a world where we have to relate to others and relate to ourselves, but it all begins and ends with how we view God and how we think God views us.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 8 gives us a good bite of what God thinks of us, right? That we are his beloved, that we are not condemned in him.
The classic line along those lines is A.W. Tozer, where he says the most important thing about a person is what they think about God. But I saw a restatement of that, similar from Richard Rohr the other day. I don't know if it's from you or somebody else, but it was along those same lines, that the way you conceive of God is the most important thought you have.
Absolutely.
And how
again, I think it shapes how we live in the world. When we begin to think that God is love, which is his principal characteristic, I think,
mm-hmm.
it really colors and changes everything about us.
Absolutely. Thank you. We're going to let you go. The best 7.5 minutes of the day. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Our buddy Jason Kanz. I'm going to hopefully see him for coffee later. Hey, she's back from the ice cream truck. Hillary Roth, good morning.
Ice cream bike.
Thank you. Yes. Okay.
Because that's how the Roths roll in Altoona.
Mm-hmm.
We have an ice cream bike, which is way cooler.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Funny story. So we used to have an ice cream bike that went by several years ago, and we were very, very regular customers. And it went away. And a couple of weeks ago, we're walking outside, ironically, to get ice cream. And here's the ice cream bike coming down. I'm running out there, so excited. She's just training. Okay. I told her, I said, at this house, if this gold car is in the driveway, knock on our door. Not kidding. Knock on the door.
Okay.
And so I'm there yesterday canning peaches, and the kids are watching a movie, and the doorbell rings, and there's a knock. Ice cream bike. She knocked on her door. I was so happy we all got ice cream.
And
it
you had
was
your picture taken
wonderful.
With
yeah, they took our picture and threw it on their social media at Treats. So
and your dad was done with having lunch with me, so he was home.
Yeah,
for
so
it.
He got dessert as well.
Mm-hmm.
He
nice.
Had dessert as well. So
right.
It was glorious. He also paid for the ice cream, which was good.
That's nice. That's nice for sure. So what flavor, what kind of treat did you get?
I got a Snickers bar, Snickers ice cream bar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my kids, a lot of us got the Snickers ice cream bars, but one of them got a an Oreo ice cream bar. So delicious.
All right.
Refreshing. Yes.
All right. Well, let's check. Should we check these special events for today?
We can. It is, it's sugar cookie day.
I'm scrolling there. It is also... Okay. It's body painting.
World body painting. Didn't know it was a thing, and we'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
So yesterday we were talking about men's fashion, because, you know.
About
8:45, men's fashion. Mark, you were not part of that
gone.
Conversation, but it was an interesting conversation, to say the least. So, but it triggered another topic, and that was, how long into your marriage, how long do you have to be married before the wife can just go into her husband's closet and get rid of clothes? Now, I would not do this with things in the garage. I would not do this with, you know, my husband's tools or, you know, things like that. But his clothes are a little out of control. He's not the downsizer of clothes that I am. Like, if I buy new clothes, I get rid of old clothes. Doesn't happen. So he actually has way more clothes in our closet than I do.
But why not dialogue with said husband about that rather than just do it?
Why not dialogue
yeah.
with him? Because he's like, grumble, grumble, grumble. I don't want to. So
in my house, this went on for a while, and my wife had said, you've got a lot of t-shirts.
Uh-huh.
You got a lot of t-shirts. And she had tried kind of unsuccessfully to rid the drawer of those t-shirts for a while. And eventually I gave in when I realized I'm not fitting into those anytime soon. But this was a debate where she would set things out and I would try to rescue them because there was nostalgia attached. And
yes.
I feel like this happens with It could be t-shirts. It could be a special pair of shoes that has grown kind of putrid. And
yes.
But it's like, no, no, those are comfy. I want, so.
So, for instance, my husband had a Terminator 2 t-shirt.
Oh.
From 1991, because that's when Terminator 2 came out. His brother was in town some 20 years later when a new Terminator movie out. He wore the Terminator 2 t-shirt. It was like crackling. The paint, like when you'd like move it and it would crackle and it was like flaking off. He's like, no, I'm wearing my T2 because t-shirt. I'm like, are you kidding?
But he's kind of broadcasting like, hey, I'm connected. I'm tied. I'm cool. I'm hip because I'm connected to the previous one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking of like a Badger t-shirt I had, and it was, I see on the list yesterday, you guys worked off of t-shirts with the arms ripped or cut off.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like I had a t-shirt kind of.
Yeah.
And something that as guys, you might think this is comfortable or cool, your female
cool
significant other
or
would
cool,
not.
Cool, like,
just,
hip-wise.
I don't know, just kind of, it's comfortable, it's cool hip-wise, yeah.
And because t-shirts are my garment of choice.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of them, and they have, you know, it's like, hey, I wore this one at this basketball game when we beat our rival, or I wore this one when the Packers won the Super Bowl. I mean, I still have the shirt that I retired after the Packers won the Super Bowl, and now I have my next one that has holes in the arm and a ratty collar that I'm going to wear until they win another Super Bowl, so please hurry up, Rodgers. But, like, there's something about it, like, it's special to me, and I don't want to give it up.
Well, and I'm
even
okay
when it has big holes in the armpit.
With the occasional special, like, work pants. My husband has all these work pants, and he has, like, 9 pair of work pants that are, like, really ratty. I'm like, honey, you could wear a different pair of work pants every day for a week and still not get through them, and I do laundry.
A word you both use, ratty. Ratty, I think, is going to be hard to sell to your wife. On keeping it.
Let us know, 715-396-1670 by text or by voicemail. How does this work in your household?
Yeah. Is 18 and a half years of marriage enough for me to just like downsize his clothing without his input?
And what would the reaction be afterwards?
Without his input? Why not just tell him?
Well, every time I've been like, I'm going to go through your closet, he's like, no, those are my clothes. Like,
all right.
Okay, but then I'm not putting your clothes
on. Wait for 20 years.
Dean, you got a year and a half.
Well, on this Thursday, July 9th, happy birthday to my mother-in-law, Jean Leckler, with a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Jean.
So many mother-in-law jokes, and I'm so thankful to the Lord that I got, like, the coolest mother-in-law. I mean, she's so awesome. And so, happy birthday to her. Meanwhile, it is also, what a coincidence, huh, that my sweet mother-in-law shares Sugar Cookie Day.
Mm.
Yes. The sugar cookie, there's a history on this cookie.
Okay.
One would think that sugar cookies have existed since the beginning. You'd be wrong. The sugar cookie was born in Nazareth, Pennsylvania in the mid-1700s.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
German colonists created the round buttery cookie that came to be known as the Nazareth cookie.
Huh.
Yeah.
I had never even heard of it called the Nazareth cookie
before. A wealth
of
knowledge here. This classic American cookie is a favorite in homes across the country. But it is linked to some information about what is the most popular. Pardon me?
I said diabetes? Wait, no. Sorry.
She just kind of takes the fun out of it sometimes.
And I love sugar cookies.
She's just like, Dean, I'm getting the shirts out of your closet. I'm taking the fun out.
And I hate the raisin industry.
Boy. Yeah. Just,
okay.
Sorry.
Back to the sweet part of the segment.
The favorite cookie of Wisconsinites is the chocolate chip cookie.
Really?
Yeah.
Right on.
Oh.
So there you go.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris Tomlin sent us cookies. These were from Chris, right?
Thanks, Chris.
We appreciate it. So, Greg just came in with these. He sent us individually wrapped. We have a corn cookie.
Uh-huh.
Sounds interesting. A cornflake chocolate chip marshmallow cookie.
That looks good.
Sure.
Blueberry and cream cookie. And then this one's a compost cookie, which sounds interesting to me. I see, like, butterscotch chips and chocolate chips in there. I see lots of good things.
Like, compost would mean you just, like, scrape together all the things that are underneath your kid's car seat. And then
you can survive for a week
into a batter.
Well, they have like a product you buy, like the cow pie, right? And it's kind of like this chocolate
deliciousness. Yeah. Good cookies. You know, they have all kinds of strategies for helping with, you know, stopping the spread of the pandemic or at least slowing it down. And Berlin has a new strategy that I find very interesting in Berlin, Germany. They want people to stop wearing deodorant on public transportation in order to fight coronavirus. Mm.
People are not going to want to get so
your old
close.
Spice right. is not welcome here.
So essentially, largely, this is a city without air conditioning. Okay. Ooh. Yes, they have been encouraging people to wear masks, but their thought behind this is that if people all just stop wearing deodorant, they'll start to smell bad. It will encourage the mask wearing and also encourage social distancing.
Simple.
I find this so interesting.
And this is in
Berlin, Germany.
Germany, yeah.
Yeah.
Berlin, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Germany. I've been to Africa. And so immediately when you share this, my experience, on the one hand, yeah, a lot of folks in Liberia not necessarily wearing deodorant either. And it is hot. And so there's certain...
Noticeable.
Yeah, yes. On the other hand, I also think about how packed so much public transportation was. And I wonder, how have they possibly tried to deal with it? Because I'm talking packed. I had some taxi rides, and you're packed. I mean, it is
sardines.
Totally. And so, and just, you wouldn't believe. And the idea of a pickup truck, you just load it up in back.
It's going to get to the point where you can say, yeah, come in, I'm Berliner. And they're like, yeah, we can smell you.
Yeah.
We know where you're
from. It says here, I love this. Passengers are encouraged to allow the natural scent of their body to develop and flower unabated, especially as the summer wears on in a largely non-air-conditioned city.
Like the corpse flower.
Corpse flower.
So what if... Would one of the presidential candidates incorporate this as an effort to somehow try to... lessen the spread and say, I've now come out against
deodorants. I don't know.
I'd say my experiences at summer camp would say that there's a lot of junior high boys who would be like, I'll move to Berlin.
Bring it on. Right.
I want to hear Caleb speak more German.
Yeah. Occasionally mistakes happen. But when you work at a bank, you need to be a little more careful.
Here's the thing. We can't really eliminate crime, but we don't want to just make it easy.
Right. Well, an after-hours ATM user alerted police in Argentina that he had found the doors to the bank were left open. Can you imagine?
Not just left unlocked, but left wide open, the story says.
So, here's the thing. I was in a similar situation in Missouri, okay?
Okay.
St. Charles, Missouri. I'm that cute little quaint, you know, whatever town, cutesy little shops. I'm wandering down, and it was early. Not all the shops were open yet. I'm wandering through the little shops with my girls. You open the door, you go in, you look around. So there's this one shop. We open the door, we go in, we look around, and it just seemed off. It was eerily quiet. Not all of the lights were on. We're in this store looking around, and suddenly I'm like, there's no one here. There's no one here. I, was actively looking. It's a small shop. No one was there. They weren't open. Someone forgot to lock the door.
And you just went right on in.
The owner's going to come in and think we're robbing the joint. Okay, that's just a little shop. And we were like, let's go, get out, get out. And we went to the shop next door that was open, and we're like, hey,
it's like when you walk out of Walmart without buying anything, it's this sense of guilt where it's like, right, just be cool, Caleb, be cool. It's like, I didn't do anything.
But can you imagine walking into a bank and discovering that they're not open?
Thankfully. For this bank in Argentina, nothing was missing.
The police surrounded it, though, thinking that a bank heist was going on. But no, everything was fine. There was an employee that forgot to, the bank employee was replenishing cash in the ATM prior for leaving for the night and forgot to close the main door to the bank. That employee's been suspended.
I'm pretty sure in Bank Employment 101, locking stuff up
even
properly
closing
is one of the first things.
Close and lock the door. Yeah.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.